Committee for Citizen Involvement meeting to order. This evening, we have rearranged our schedule a little bit because we had a little bit of an issue with childcare, I understand. And so we're going to start off tonight with the business from the Development and Public Works Department. Tom Boyette, the Public Works Director, is going to talk to us about fixing Springfield streets. So with that being said, I'll turn it over to you, Tom.
Thank you, Commissioner James and Planning Commissioners and folks in the audience. Welcome, everyone.
Could I pause you for just a moment? One thing before we get started. Christina Schmunk-Kratz handed out a couple of cards. Did all of our commissioners get cards? The legal counsel are now employees of the city, and this is their contact information. You wish to add anything?
Yeah, just we and your ethics packet and public meetings update, we always give you our contact information, so it's now different. So feel free to email us here. If you send an email to the other, our at Emerald Law addresses, they're monitoring those at the firm for a short time, but they won't be doing that for forever. So if you've emailed us since July 1 and not gotten a response, that would be why. This is where you can reach us. And our office is just around the corner. If you walk out this door, we're just next to Fireman. So.
And then also, before we get started, if we could just go around and introduce ourselves, I think that would be beneficial. I'm Greg James. I'm the Planning Commission Chair.
I'm Mike Coivel. I'm the Vice Chair.
I'm Grace Bergen.
I'm Troy Sherwood.
Tim Voves.
Okay, and our audience, if you could introduce yourselves as well.
Andy Lander.
Curry Gill.
Kevin Schaefer.
Leonard Sayre, City Councilor, Ward 4.
Tom Boyette, Interim Director of Development Services and Public Works.
Great.
Cindy Belson, Comprehensive Planning Manager and Interim Community Development Division Manager.
There you go.
Brenda Jones, Development and Public Works, and I'm a Management Support Specialist, and I support the Planning Commission.
I'm Christina Gross, the City Attorney.
Okay. All right. With that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the City Council, I would say fairly late in the spring, asked staff to investigate the potential for some street repair actions. We did a little bit of research. We looked at gas tax increase, which I'll cover a little bit later. A fee proposal, which there are 36 cities in Oregon, about a sixth or a seventh of the cities in Oregon, which have transportation utility fees that are paid on a monthly basis, and then basically capital bonding, which is a levy on property taxes to support investments. And staff brought back some information about this, and council asked for polling on the question, and then subsequently to that in early July gave the direction to pursue a general obligation capital bond to repair streets. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about for the next about 10 or 15 minutes. We do have a bond measure number. It's 20-296. It's a $10 million issue that would be levied over 5 years and is estimated to cost the owner of an averagely assessed home, the median assessed home value in Springfield, which is going to be different than the market value, probably somewhat dramatically different, about $6.60 a month, or about $79 a year. So before I kind of launch, I would like to give you a little bit of background. In 2003, the city floated a local option gas tax of 3 cents, which passed. And that provided a little bit of relief to the street fund in 2003. What was going on is that there was this program, a federal program called the Secure Rural Schools Act, which paid certain counties in Oregon a federal kind of amount of money in lieu of property taxes because these counties are majority timber counties, federal timber counties. And Lane County benefited from that for a number of years and would pass along a portion of that revenue to the 12 cities in Lane County, and Springfield used to get about $1 million a year from Lane County. The first signs that that was going away were in the early 2000s, and that's predominantly why the gas tax came forward at that time. And between about 2003 and 2010, we saw that amount of money decline to the point where the county ceased sharing any balance of that revenue with the cities in Lane County, or 12 cities and incorporated cities in Lane County. So in 2006, the city took another look at a gas tax increase, and that did not pass. In 2009, assessed it all again and put an issue on the ballot, which also failed. In 2014, the city supported Lane County's effort to increase registration fees, which would have been dispersed among the cities and the county in Lane County. That went down pretty hard, and the gas tax that the council put on the ballot in 2016 also went down pretty hard. I'm just bringing this up to illustrate that the problem has deep roots and hasn't really gone away. Today, and you're gonna see this, we estimate that there's about a $35 million unfunded backlog of street repair, and additionally about a $5 million annual need to maintain assets to prevent them from moving into disrepair. At any rate, that's the context. We're back again, this time looking at a GO bond for the voters' consideration. And I'll just walk you through that right now in as objectively a way as I can. By the way, we were having this conversation. The council can advocate and lobby. The staff can only provide objective information.
Right.
So our job is to provide objective information and to answer questions that are factual questions and defer and deflect all those other questions. I will say that a political action committee has formed under Councilor Van Gordon's leadership, and that is up and running, and those folks are active. And I can factually give you contact information, but I can't recommend one way or the other any decisions you make. So it's a $10 million general obligation bond to repair an identified list of streets. There are actually 8 street segments on the top priority, and then we added 3 additional street segments that we know would most likely cost more than $10 million to get to those. However, if we open up one of the first 8 and find out that what we had planned to do is infeasible, we need another project on the list. And since all of this material is vetted by the Secretary of State, the Oregon Secretary of State's Elections Division, and controlled by Lane County Elections, it's very sort of specific in terms of what you do and what you bring forward. So we wanted to have a little bit of a plan B in the hopper, but the goal is to get after this list that I'm going to show you in a second. Sort of why do a bond? Why try to preserve your street asset? And I think, you know, if you can maintain your streets through a program of crack sealing and slurry sealing, then you're gonna keep that asset in fairly good repair over a very long life. If you can't keep up with that, which has been the case in Springfield, then you move to try to preserve the streets that are there, which is a more involved process, but it's the one that we're proposing for this bond, which is to scrape the surface off the street or leave it there and just kind of grind furrows into it to do spot base repairs, because really the quality of a street, streets are sneaky. You can't really tell when they're falling apart. It's that subgrade, and streets hate water, and we have a lot of water around here, and that subgrade deteriorates, and that's when you're gonna see surface deterioration. So preservation would be an overlay of asphalt or a grind inlay of asphalt, and usually there are some spot-based repairs that have to occur with that. Essentially, it's 4 to 10 times cheaper to maintain and preserve your assets than it is to replace them. So that would be a complete reconstruct, which we hope we will soon have money for Mill Street through a federal program. But that's where we're going to take Mill Street down to the dirt and put in a new base and potentially put in steel and concrete or otherwise come up with a really high-quality pavement design that can last a long time. Anyway, it's important. The reason that the council and the staff has been after this for 15 years at least is because the longer the deterioration goes on unchecked, the higher the costs are going to be to the public to fix those streets. And that actually is factual. So this bond pays for repair work on about 4.5 miles of commercial street segments that the council prioritized and approved. We're faced with the decision, okay, do we go residential streets? Do we go more arterial and collectors? Those are commercial streets that carry the most traffic. Do we try to split the baby and do both? And really the thinking was that practically everyone uses the commercial streets at one time or another, and really not everyone uses your residential street. So, you know, how to attack the problem out of our $35 million backlog is probably about half residential and half commercial, but you gotta start somewhere. And we also know from experience that you really don't wanna have to close a Mohawk completely or a gateway completely to reconstruct it. And the impacts of rebuilding a street are much greater to the traveling public and the abutting businesses than they're going to be in a street preservation or a street maintenance context. So I covered the bond rate, 50 cents per thousand of assessed, $79 a year, 658, that's on average. And the other thing that I want to point out, you know, when you look at this list of streets, you might be thinking to yourself, we're not getting a very good buy here. Well, one of the things that we also have to do when we touch these streets is bring the curb ramps at the corners up to standard. And so that's Americans with Disability Act federal requirements. We have to do it. We know that last year ODOT settled a federal ADA lawsuit for $28 million and committed to changing their culture and paying attention to this. So far, Springfield has been able to work pretty collaboratively with the disabled community on a kind of a case-by-case basis, but we recognize that we need to meet standards, and it's in fact legally required when we touch the street that we do that. So our surface preservation is going to be about two-thirds of this, and our ADA upgrade is going to be about a third of it, and that's just simply our reality. These are the street segments, the first eight. And so Olympic, Mohawk to 28th, Centennial, Aspen to Prescott. Commercial, this is a little one, but it's related to 42nd Street. So 450 feet of Commercial Street west of 42nd, and then 42nd Street main to the entrance to International Paper. You're probably thinking to yourself, International Paper to the freeway is kind of a mess too. What are we doing about that? And I can tell you that we were very fortunate in last year's statewide transportation bill that is investing over 10 years, $5.3 billion in the state's transportation infrastructure. That package, our legislators were, and primarily Senator Beyer with Representative Lively's support, were able to get a $12 million earmark in that package for 42nd Street, for the portion from IP railroad tracks north to Marcola Road. So
you probably made them drive on it.
Yeah, or wait, you know, while the ramp's flushed out or something. It's that'll be an interesting project. The money is programmed in 2023, which is a ways off. We're in conversations with ODOT right now to try to advance some of those dollars. And I think once they get a year or two of this House Bill 2017 revenue under their belts, and they kind of, right now, they're just under stress. They went from a skeleton crew post-recession to here, deliver billions of dollars quickly and show progress. But once they, once their blood pressure comes down a little bit, I think we'll be able to work with their rather large cash flow and see what we can do to advance at least some study money so we can get prepared and actually be ready to go to contract in 2023. So that's 42nd Street, Thurston Road, 58th to 69th, High Banks Road and 58th Street from 52nd to Thurston Road, 14th Street in two segments, Main to A and E to G, and then Mohawk from G to the freeway. These are, you know, I think I did the math, and we're looking at, in these eight segments, at plus or minus 70,000 vehicle trips a day. So, you know, people are driving back and forth on these streets. And like I said, a little over 4.5 miles, about 4.7 miles. The three kind of Plan B streets are Marcola Road, 19th to the city limits, Gateway Street from International Way to the city limits, and 32nd Jasper Road from the railroad crossing to 42nd Street. And, you know, there's a long list to choose from. So the council was really looking at bang for the buck, getting out in front, and commutes, commerce, shopping, you know, freight, deliveries, all of that, and just bringing that up. The sad reality is that asphalt does not last forever, and about every 10 years, cracks should be sealed on arterial and collector streets, what I'm calling our commercial streets. Cracking lets water in, but the street's just going to last longer if you do that. We've been able to do some of that over time. That program is become quite small, and the way this works is if we don't have a winter weather event due to our budget, if we're not in an ice storm and paying tons of overtime, then we typically will, at the end of a budget cycle in June, be able to identify a certain amount of money and go out and patch potholes and do a little bit of residential crack sealing. But it's not enough, and you can see that by the backlogs. So we do receive revenue on an annual basis, state shared revenue out of the state gas tax, a little bit of federal gas tax revenue, our own gas tax revenue. We are charging the city's two utilities, which is wastewater and stormwater, a fee to use the city's right-of-way. That brings in a little bit of revenue. All in, that's about $5.3 million. And we use that to operate our system, our hundreds of miles of system. Traffic signs, pavement markings, signals, streetlights, the electricity that goes into the 5,000 streetlights, some pothole and crack sealing, ramp upgrades, winter storm response, special events, transportation planning, which is our access to federal money, which is about a 50-to-1 return on investment. And then to match federal and state dollars. So I call that 89% money. We give 11 cents, we get a dollar back. And I think I got that covered here a little bit later. No, I don't. So Springfield is part of a Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a federal transportation coordinating group. And that group parses out to its members about, I think it's about $15 million every 3 or 4 years. Springfield's been hugely successful in obtaining revenue at that table. The MPO, I think tomorrow, in fact, I believe it's tomorrow, is going to vote on the latest proposal. And that's where we have Mill Street at about $3.5 million. And North 28th Street at about $1 million, and some other. We've been doing very well in our proportional, we're not supposed to sub-allocate the money. That's a federal rule, but Springfield's been doing very well negotiating revenue. So what I'm basically saying is that we have an ongoing revenue stream. We're getting federal money, and we're actually going to also see an increase in the revenue that we get from the state of Oregon out of that House Bill 2017, about $750,000 a year, and that will slowly increase in years 2020, 2022, and 2024. So in fiscal year 2025, the city should be seeing about an additional $1.9 million coming in. So you can stack all that up. We're the ninth largest city in the state. We're trying to operate a pretty robust transportation system. We do have revenue that comes in. We go after federal money. We're pretty lucky to have this boost from the state, but we're also facing a $35 million backlog and a $5 million annual unmet need, and that's just the math of it. What we hope to do with this 750, if I don't want to sort of leverage the voters one way or the other, but if our capital bond passes, then our plan is to use the bulk of the $750,000 on local residential street crack and slurry sealing to prevent further deterioration. If the capital bond does not pass, then we'll have to take a step back and probably assess and talk to the council about, are the priorities still the commercial streets? Do we want to kind of split up the funds and go residential and commercial, or how do we want to do that? But that's sort of what we'd like to do. So yeah, I kind of got ahead of myself, but here is the federal and regional grant funds that we do have to pay between 11 and a 20-cent match for. And these are the projects that you've seen in Springfield. We redid the surface. We did a surface repair, which was a grind inlay on Gateway Street a couple of years ago. We've done portions of Thurston Road. We did A Street out here by City Hall down to Mill with those funds. We've also used, we have money that we're keying up 28th Street surface repair, both North 28th, and then we're looking at actually putting pavement on South 28th, where it's a gravel road, if you've ever been down there. And that's through a program called Congestion Management Air Quality. It's a federal program. Thanks to our mayor and the mayor of Kaiser, and really great support from staff at the MPO. We kind of kicked the door down in ODOT and helped them recognize that Eugene Springfield and Salem Kaiser had been due CMAC dollars for about 10 years. There was a quiet settlement to cover the past 10 years, which didn't come close to our share, but was real money. And now we're in this CMAC pipeline again. That's what contributes in part to that. Those dollars that the MPO allocates. So, 28th Street, and then the Mill Street Reconstruct, which is on that list, I think, to be voted on. And if you've seen it out there, Sub is out there doing their water lines, and we'd definitely like to see that before we try to build a 50-year street. We'll coordinate with them as much as possible. We're fairly confident that we're going to see a positive vote tomorrow. The staff recommended it. There were no comments at last month's meeting. So we've worked out a deal with Sub where they're contributing to the future project and doing less to repair their lateral trenches. The city engineer's concern was that they would repair their lateral trenches to our standards, and then the road would deteriorate all around that, and you just sort of have these little walls, you had to drive over. So we're trying to get that coordinated and taken care of. Clearly, street assets, any asset, is never in 100% perfect shape. Unless you just put the roof on your house, it's aged. You're going to try to maintain it and probably preserve it. Eventually, you may have to replace it. Today, overall, we have a street condition rating of the entire system of about C-, and those are A, B, C, and D. It's C-minus because some of the system is in really good shape and a lot of the system is not, and averaged out, that gets you to a C-minus. The challenge with C-minus is those that are in poor shape are moving towards that fiscal cliff where they're not going to be able to be preserved anymore, and then we'll have to be reconstructed at a much more increased cost. So the backlog's been growing. It's been growing exponentially. 5 years ago, it was $22 million, and when we complete our now state-required street conditions inventory, and we actually have to submit that to the state as part of this funding bill, we're expecting it to come in around $40 million. So it's effectively looking like it's doubling in 5 years, and what if you were going to graph that, that curve is just getting steeper and steeper, which I think is it's been motivating, you know, the council to move these funding measures forward. I know our operations staff, and really all the staff, care a lot about the work they do and feel that's sort of a responsibility to the asset. You know, it's challenging to watch your assets deteriorate. So I'm just going to go back to the first slide, which is the details of the bond, and then do my best to factually answer any questions, and I'm sure my attorney will course correct me and maybe already has a few pieces of advice for me.
One thing to note is that you are not elected officials, members of the Planning Commission, and so you are also bound to not officially take a position on this measure. So you may individually, you have free speech rights as individual citizens, but the Planning Commission as a body or in your formal capacity as a Planning Commissioner, you can't advocate one way or the other. So in this room, in this meeting tonight, you cannot say, entertain a motion to approve or to recommend approval or recommend not supporting the bond measure, as an example. That doesn't mean that when you walk out of the room, you can't have a conversation with someone who asks you your opinion, who knows you're a planning commissioner. That would be your free speech rights, but there's a line there.
Good.
So any questions?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, to set the stage, this has been ongoing for a number of years, and you point to that. And, you know, I'm on the LCOG executive board, and I understand the MPO process, and I've been very engaged in that process for a long time. And my biggest concern is, and, you know, across the river, they have passed several, three.
They're up to 128.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, you know, thinking in terms of the city, we've got to get to sustainability at some level. And like you said, with staff seeing the assets deteriorate, that has to be very frustrating. But just as a citizen driving around Springfield, the ninth largest city in the state, to see some of the deterioration of the roadways is frustrating. And so I appreciate your description of the funding streams, because they come from several different sources. But it'll be interesting to see in November what the public thinks of this measure. So, did you have a question?
Yeah, I have several, but I'll just pick one off to start with. Realizing that even with approval of this measure, that you're just scratching the surface. Is there any consideration? I know the focus is going to be on pavement preservation or rebuilding of the surface. Is there any consideration being given on any of these projects on the list of any reconfiguration where necessary or deemed to be necessary?
No, honestly, there isn't. We're somewhat constrained by the way bonding works. So we have to get our what bond council is going to be looking for is the city getting 85% of the dollars into the projects in 3 years.
Yeah. And or arbitrage, right?
Yeah. Right. In order to do that, if this passes in November, then council has already authorized some inter-fund borrowing so that we can begin design, and we'll probably outsource most of design and definitely all of construction. So, but what we need to do is get going and get those bid packages ready and get those designs in so that even before the first penny is collected in July of 2019, we are already underway hitting the first two projects
in the
construction year.
For summer, yes.
So that we can, you know, get a little bit of breathing room. It really is the simplest, highest priority, quickest turnaround sort of approach that we could come up with. And you know, you want to honor the will of the voters. If the voters see this as viable and they would like to do it,
sure.
Then we'd like, you know, we're Springfield and we want to show action. So we want to be out there on it immediately. Not one of these things where 2 or 3 years later something happens.
Yeah. I had another question. I know the city's been working with bond council around the options for, you know, but why a 5-year as opposed to, I mean, you know, the length of life of the asset, I'm thinking, is 10 years plus, you know, on an overlay or a, you know, why a five-year bond?
Well, we pulled that question, and we pulled on amount and on term, and what we got back is that it's most likely to pass if it's 5 years, not 10 or 15, and if it's 10 million, not 15 or 20.
Got it.
So, you know, yeah, my life better sound.
Yeah, I understand. Yes.
Few questions. First of all, High Banks Road, wasn't that rebuilt about 93 full reconstruct?
Could be. I wasn't even in the business in 93. We will definitely check that.
So that might actually be relatively inexpensive to do that one.
For the base.
Because it was well built. I'm surprised not to see Q Street, because I think Q Street has some very bad areas, say around the Safeway, mm-hmm. and between Safeway and Fred Meyer. And
I can address that. We went back and forth with Q Street. It's pretty complicated, and it's in segments. I think if all of this works and we come back again, it's going to be pretty close to the top of the list.
Okay. And great information. Could you send us a copy of that PowerPoint?
I will have to check.
That would be.
We are in the process of vetting public information
with
the Elections Division of State Secretary of State's office. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we vetted the PowerPoint itself, but I think we're like that close to getting our questions and answers and mm-hmm. our summary sheet and our web stuff approved, and I'd like to start there, but I'll definitely mm-hmm. check, and if we can, we will.
At least the list of streets. And let's see, will you be doing audible pedestrian signals as part of the ADA improvements?
That I do not know.
Okay, that could be really expensive.
Right.
If that is done, all the underground electric and other.
Right. I don't think we're required to go that far, and I also believe that that would only be at striped crosswalks.
Okay.
But our, you know, we would like to put every penny that we can into the surface
of
the road.
Sure, sure. And then finally,
pardon me?
I brought in a page here that is related to possible innovative asphalt design using recycled plastic. And I brought a lot of copies of this, a whole bunch of web links. It's been used in India under roads for a number of years using dirty, unsegregated plastic as binder and using a more controlled methods in the UK has been, they've actually done airport runways with it.
Cool.
So it's a pretty nice thing. Could you pass these? And if anyone wants a copy, I think there's enough, but I definitely want. And I'd love to see at least a pilot program, because we've got such a problem with recycling next time.
Right.
But I'd love to see a pilot program at least doing a parking lot or something. The sand and gravel companies will do what you tell them to do if you give them enough time to do it. I mean, they pay them, so. It'd be nice to see at least a pilot program on something, and it'd be another way to possibly to sell it to the taxpayers too.
Right, that's really great input. When I was much younger, I floated an idea that we needed to take all our recycled tires and turn those into roadways and run on steel rims. So basically, reverse pavement and the rubber, but nobody would give me the time of day. So.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions? Yes.
I agree with the focus on arterial and collectors over residential streets, because I think there's kind of an incidental benefit, although it's questionable whether it could be called a benefit, in that priorities. Because I think with residential streets that are not in ideal repair, it provides a incidental speed control.
Right.
Element.
Speed checked by potholes.
Right, exactly. And I think that's a benefit in many areas, because otherwise things get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then one last question I have is, in the recent budget years, how much funding has been available for street preservation and repair previous to these possibilities that are looking in the future?
All right, we will capture that and get back to you. I don't have it off the top of my head. I'm thinking that this year it's probably in the 100,000 or less category.
About in general fund? Or is there a dedicated street?
No, we have a street fund, Fund 201, and that takes in the revenues I described previously. It's just that to own, operate, and do basic maintenance on the system, street sweep it, pay the electricity, make sure the signals work, all of that stuff, a bit of landscaping, eats it up.
Because it actually sounds like even with the potential approval of this levy, it's nothing more than just breaking even in a sense, because the backlog is growing as fast as what would be available under the measure.
You know, I think I agree with you. I also think that we've got to do what we can.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Other questions? Hearing none, thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Really appreciate the presentation.
Okay. You know what happened to you, Tom.
Next, I'd like to invite Molly Markarian, senior planner, dealing with the Main Street Safety Project. And, remember, we're in our role as the Committee for Citizen Involvement this evening, and so Molly will be presenting, and her team will be presenting information related to citizen involvement in association with the Main Street Safety Project.